Hi, and welcome to the podcast.
I'm
Greg Detmeyer, and this is the Instructional Coaching Corner podcast. Jenny's sitting with me too. I'm a little giddy because this is a rare, I don't know if we've ever done, like, this is a Friday afternoon recording session, and our brains are probably shot, but we're going to give it a try. How are you doing, Jenny?
I'm good. You never say hi. You're always like, hey.
Yep.
So that was different.
Just trying something new for the intro.
You just throwing it off on this Friday.
See if anyone notices. Obviously,
we've never been together on a Friday, so we're going to...
I'm going to give it a try here.
Change things up a bit.
So,
I'm good.
Enjoyed the drive over?
It was. It's actually really nice out. The wind kind of died down a little bit. If you don't know Iowa Springs, it's either freezing and super windy, or it's ridiculously hot and you have no idea where the heat comes from.
Still super windy.
Yes.
Like, the wind is a common factor in spring in Iowa, I'm learning.
Yeah.
No matter what's windy.
Yeah. The car, like, it was actually, like, kind of relaxing on the drive over because I didn't feel like the wind was going to pull me off the road. Yeah.
So, what is it? 10 and 2.
10 and 2.
Nice and tight.
I heard now it's 10 and 3.
So, like, one hand's down lower than the other?
No. Oh, 9 and 3.
Oh, 9.
10 and 2. 9 and 3.
I was going to say your hands would be like.
No, no, no. 9 and 3. Because most cars have, like, the little, like, things that go across. I don't even know what you call
that.
Like, you know, the middle part that people can rest their hands on there. So I don't know.
You're supposed to hold those?
I don't know. That's what my oldest said. So,
like, you stick your hands on the steering wheel through, like, the middle part where the airbag is and hold that?
No. Like, my steering wheel has, like, it's like a V or like a triangle.
Yeah,
that's
in the middle.
There. Yeah, and you put your hands, like, so that they're up against the outside of the steering wheel and you put your hand right there.
So you don't grip around the steering wheel?
No. I don't know if that's what they're teaching kids.
Okay, so the steering wheel is a circle, and then you have the stuff in the middle, like where you can turn your radio up and you honk the horn. You set your hands on that stuff?
I do, yeah.
That just seems like madness, Jenny. You're supposed to, aren't you?
All right, viewer or listeners, if you hold your steering wheel like that, please respond back and let him know that this is normal. Like, some people do this. So
I'm not accepting that as normal, but Jenny, we have a show to do.
We do.
So what are we talking about today?
We're celebrating you again, Greg, because I feel like every time I see you, now today, seriously, listeners, he looks like he's about 22.
22. Each time I'm knocking a decade off.
You really are.
Next time you're going to podcast with a 12-year-old.
That's a little weird, but...
And then a 2-year-old.
No.
That's hopefully potty trained.
Greg, I'm excited to be back to talk to you today because the last three episodes that you've done, and you can give people a little bit of background on that, but I'm excited to be back because the last three, I feel like we're even better than the first three.
All right.
So.
Yeah, so we're going to take a few minutes and discuss the last three principles of our goals series that I've been putting together as I've kind of worked through my little weight loss and lifestyle change. So we're going to jump right in, Jenny.
Let's jump in.
Episode 5 was all about the Henry Ford quote, which is a pretty popular quote. Like, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yep.
And I kind of defined that, or that kind of defined a turning point in this goal for me, that for the first time in this area of my life, I realized I can actually do this. Like, I believed that the story I'm living out right now was achievable through hard work.
Mm-hmm. I think, Greg, when I listened to it, the quote that kind of stuck out, or not even quote, but what you said that stuck out the most to me was, behind people is a lot of hard work. And I think, you know, part of the perception of some people who struggle, and I think this is partly me too, you know, when you see people that look really physically fit or have lost a lot of weight, or maybe have a baby, and then right after they have a baby, they look thin again, or they look healthy again. You know, they just have that. What I always say is, well, they're just lucky.
Yep.
That's just how they are. So I loved that sentence that you said. Behind people is a lot of hard work, because I think that that's something that is not always the reality. A perception of people is when you see somebody that looks very physically fit or has a baby and then immediately has their post-baby body back. You know, there's a lot of hard work that goes behind that you don't see. And so the perception that the reality that you're putting in your head is very different from their reality. And I think just that quote plus... You know, you have the DDP one that you say all the time. Never underestimate your power, you know, the belief that you have in yourself. Believe in you. That was huge for me.
I think, too, like, it's not just about, like, seeing someone who's, like, physically fit, but also how many times in my life I think I've looked at someone and it's like, man, it just be nice that they just have what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whether it be a house, a car, a career, or whatever. But you completely ignore the fact that behind those things, more often than not, is a lot of hard work that people don't see.
Yeah. And emotionally, I think now, like this year or last year, you know, in the COVID pandemic and all of that, I think the emotional strength that people had to kind of even step up even more, there's a lot of hard work that's going into like emotional health right now. Yeah. Your emotional health, you don't see that. You know, those are things that you don't see because those are all internal. I think about even, you know, things at home. Like right now, we've got multiple things going on at home, plus multiple things going on at school. And there's people that will say, I don't know how you keep all this straight. I don't know how you keep it all together. And in reality, I'm kind of laughing and smirking because there are days that I don't feel like I have it all together. So the whole idea, like, if you think you can, you're right. If you think you can't, you're right too.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mindset that you have to tell yourself every day. I think I can, or I think I can't. And you've got to decide which one you want that to be.
Yeah. And I found a lot of people I've talked to about my little journey here, both friends and family and so forth. And one of the things that I hear people say a lot is like, hey, what are you doing? I just want to lose 20 pounds, but I'm not sure I can do it. And as harsh as it sounds, like my immediate next response is, then you're not going to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you don't think you can do this, then don't try. Because you're not going to, I mean, like the quote says, like, you're not going to be able to do it.
Right.
So if your mindset is in a place where you don't think you can lose that 20 pounds, or you don't think you can save the money like someone else can, then you're not going to be able to. And until you come to the point where you believe in yourself, it's better not even to try, because you're going to end up in failure.
Yeah. And the last part of this episode where you kind of talked about affirmations, you know, before our district a couple of years ago kind of really went into yoga and mindset and a lot of that work. And one of the things that I took from even the experience of us being able to do yoga is the power of those affirmations and how important it is to tell yourself what you want. Like, what do you want to affirm for yourself? What habits do you want to build? And making sure that they do become a part of your daily life, because, you know, the second you tell yourself something different from what you want, that can start to take over your thoughts and your emotions, and it can change the way that you're looking forward and looking ahead.
Yeah, I love that. That's a Muhammad Ali quote, like, the repetition of positive affirmation will lead to belief. And then once that leads to belief, things start to happen. So yeah, like, even like if you wake up and have a bad day, like you're just, something bad happens and you think the day is ruined. Like, keep telling yourself, like, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to still be productive today. Because if you keep doing that, eventually you're going to start believing it. And then you're going to see that in your results for the day.
Yeah. And I think, like, I think you talked about this in the podcast, but I'm also thinking about a conversation that I was having with a coworker the other day about how, you know, we had treat day in our lounge, and it was Cinco de Mayo. So there was some really delicious food.
Yeah.
And, you know, this person left there and then said, well, I already ruined it for the day, so I'm just going to go home and I'm going to binge, you know. And I think that's what's hard, is if you tell yourself from that moment on after treat day that it's going to be a bad day anyways, that you just kind of let it go, instead of telling yourself, you know what, that was bad, but tonight can be better. You know, you have to tell yourself that it was bad today, but it can be better tonight.
That comes down to one of the other principles, where it's like, don't slice the other three tires.
Right.
Like on that road trip, it's like, yep, I ate a cruddy lunch. The best thing to do for you to keep working toward your goal is to be disciplined for the rest of the day. But it's so easy for us to say, well, the day's shot, I'm just going to pop the other three tires since I have to fix this one anyways, and maybe I'll start again tomorrow. Maybe I won't. Maybe this will lead to, well, I'll take the week off. I'll take the month off. And before you know it, you're not even working toward anything.
Yeah, you're 5 years down the road and feeling the exact same way.
So,
yep.
So, like I said, Jenny, that was the one where, for me, that was the big change. It was the first time I believed that I could do what I was setting out to do.
That was a good one. I honestly, so. I think the one that just kind of kept, I still go back to that. Behind people is a lot of hard work, and you have to tell yourself that. And I think you have to tell your, like, I have to tell myself that, you know what, if I want these things, I need to put in the hard work. So when people look at me, they think, well, they must be really working hard. Because I look at you and I'm thinking, dang, you are working your butt off. I can't say the other word that I really want to say because it's a podcast. But like when I look at you, like you can tell that you are working your butt off.
That's the thing. But like people don't see the 4:30 in the morning workout or the consistently eating broccoli and chicken for lunch and so forth. So.
Or the people who see you that haven't seen you for a really long time and then come to me and say, Jenny, what's going on with Greg? Is he okay? Is he sick? I mean, some people, but that's the funny thing because people just, well, they make that assumption and they, you know, that's their perception, like what's going on. But yeah.
All right. Let's jump to episode 6.
Okay. This one was deep.
This was a deep one. So I titled this one Dealing with Our Dark Passengers. The whole idea about this premise was that we carry around these, it's like baggage almost, that we're really unwilling to name and deal with. And that these things often lead us to sabotaging our own progress. A few of them that I talked about specifically was like believing that I was worthy and worth this work. Like that I had the confidence to say like, yeah, Greg Detmer, you deserve to have this lifestyle, having that confidence. And also like, since we're talking about like weight loss, like having a serious conversation with myself on my relationship with food. That was like a dark passenger. I was carrying it with me throughout life and didn't even really realize it, but like food was kind of that thing. It's like something good happened, let's celebrate with food. Something bad happened, let's celebrate with food. Where those aren't bad things, but like when the treat becomes the norm, we have an issue. So I had to deal with that, and that was something I've never really dealt with before, that dark passenger. I even went in a little bit about like as a parent, like what things I carry around with me that I'm unknowingly passing on to my kids. And then thinking like, if I don't deal with this, eventually they're going to have to deal with it. And if they can't deal with it, then their kids are going to have to deal with it. And how we can kind of at least get to the point where we can name it and try to fight against that.
Yeah. This is the episode that I feel like I had the most time reflecting. And I think just because I had like just a lot of things that happened that you just start to think about, like, okay, is that a dark passenger? Like, how does that dark passenger affect, you know, my lifestyle now or how I am as a mom, how I am at home? And it's crazy because I don't know if I have pinned down my darkest passengers yet. Like, I'm still, you know, I kind of walked away from listening to that one. And I think this is the one that requires the most thought because you can name something as a dark passenger, but if it's not the root of where the problem comes in, if it's not the darkest passenger, and I air quote that, you know, if it's not the darkest passenger, you still may have those relapses or it still may not be as effective. Like, and I think that's where I'm sitting. Like, what truly are the darkest passengers from keeping me from achieving my goals? So this was a great one. But I love, you know, you kept saying, but I don't have to accept it. And I think that's the most important thing too, that these are your dark passages or passengers. And once you figure out what they are, that you have to tell yourself, I don't accept these anymore.
Yeah. You know? I've had many conversations and sticking with the food, like where people just say like, well, I need that food during bad times. That's how I cope. It's like, well, that's a dark passenger you're carrying with you. Like, you don't have to accept that, but you're being told by something within you that this is how you have to be. And maybe it's like a generational thing, but until we name it and say like, yeah, I don't have to accept this. Like, we're going to be I don't know if like enslaved is the word, but we're going to be following where mm-hmm. that passenger takes us.
Well, it's that whole thought process that you talked about. Like if you fail at something, you know, you're working out or you're, you know, you use the example of reading a book and you don't do it one day. Like when you fail for one day, it's like immediately, or like I talked about with the staff lounge the other day. Well, I failed at lunch, so I'm going to fail again at supper. It's like you're validating your failures to go against your goals. Like, this is why I'm not achieving my goals, because I failed this one time, you know, where instead of accepting it and saying, okay, I made a mistake. I didn't do this. I didn't read. I binged at lunch. I, you know, whatever. I didn't get up and I didn't work out in the morning. Validating that, but then moving on instead of thinking, well, I failed at it, so now I'm just going to continue to not work out for the next 2 weeks.
It doesn't define you. It's right. I remember a good example of this. I had a friend in high school who, and into college and even into adult life a little bit, he always would say, like, I'm just never going to find someone to be with. I'm not worthy of that anyways. And to me, like, that was a dark passenger of, like, self-worth there, where he was telling himself this lie that he wasn't worthy of someone wanting to spend their life with him, until he gets to the point of saying, like, I don't have to accept this. He's not going to find that person. He's just going to keep succumbing to that dark passenger, to that idea of, like, when things are going, it's going to self-sabotage because it's like, I'm telling myself I'm not worthy of this.
Yeah. I think about, actually, this just came to my mind now. It kind of makes me think about high schoolers or teenagers today with social media, that, you know, they're seeing on Snapchat, they're seeing on Facebook all of their friends who are doing things. And for our kids who have mental health issues, you know, they're seeing these things. And by seeing all of this or having all of these things pop up, it's just more validation to tell themselves, well, I'm not worthy for that. Or look at these friends are doing this. I'm not good enough to be there. So, you know, back when we were younger, at least me growing up in the 70s, yeah, Greg.
Back in the day, you youngsters will never understand what it was like back then.
But we didn't have that pressure. So, you know, I don't think a lot of that negative self-talk came about, or it was never as bad as what it is today. I think that, you know, some of those social media things, like, those cause major stressors for kids. And I think, like, the not good enough, the not smart enough, like, we're telling ourselves these things all the time because there's the constant affirmation from other people, or, you know, the idea from other people that, oh, I got, you know, look at this, I got good grades, or I had an award banquet and I got this award. Well, I didn't go to that award banquet. What was that for? You know? Yeah.
And the thing with social media is, I always joke about, like, as a parent, like, oh, I had a parenting move last night that was not one I would post on Facebook. Like, you got to think, like,
yeah.
And kids don't think that. I'm like, you know, the things I post on Facebook are the things I want people to see.
Right.
The things that are going to make me, look like a decent human being. I don't post the stuff that's going to make me look like a cruddy person, even though that stuff is there.
Exactly.
And there's plenty of it.
Right.
But I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm going to take a picture of this because this was a great conversation I had yelling at my kids.
Exactly. And that's where that, you know, we can see these things on social media, but we don't have to accept that that's our reality. Making sure that, you know, our stories that we're telling ourselves and the baggage that we have is really internal for us, or really the things that we need to work through.
All right, Jenny, we got about 10 minutes left, so let's move into the last one.
I liked this one.
This was one of my favorite concepts that's come out of my whole journey so far, is the idea of better bad decisions.
I liked this one. Okay, this was a great one.
Let me set that up a little bit. I've, for the course of my whole journey, each week, and I say this in the episode, like, you could find my car in the drive-thru at Burger King. Now you think, Burger King, weight loss, healthy lifestyle, do not go hand in hand.
The big old Whopper, yeah.
No. These two do not work together. However, I've been able to be in a place where I'm finding success while still having that thing that I love, that thing that I really, really enjoy. Little background, like, before all this started, this would have been like probably a 3-day-a-week thing, eating out in some capacity. Now I made it a 1-day-a-week thing. So I knew going into my journey that the idea of like never eating fast food again was just insane. It wasn't going to happen.
You can't sustain that.
Correct.
Right. Yep.
That eventually I would cave. And when I did cave, it was just going to be like a waterfall. And there was no turning it off then. So early on, I established this rule of I'm going to make this better bad decision. Yep. It's not a good decision, but it's a lot better than what I could be making.
Right.
And I'm going to have this at once a week. And it has to be at a decent time. It can't be like at 11 o'clock at night or something crazy like that. And I've been consistently making this better bad decision. And what it's allowed me to do is still take a baby step toward my goal. Because even in that moment, I'm making a decision that is in contrast with my goal. The bigger picture shows that poor decision is actually a step forward because it's not the poor decisions I was making before. Like it's within my framework of my plan.
Do you find yourself, when you make a better bad decision, do you find yourself, that was self, take that out.
It's Friday night, Jenny. Jenny's been, Jenny's got the whiskey on ice
I
over
do,
there.
Yes. Do you find yourself making, see if you can figure this out, better bad decisions?
Yeah. So let me, I think I know where you're going. So at the beginning of this, I would order like the bacon double whopper.
Okay.
Thing was like, it's like the biggest thing on the
menu.
I mean,
if you're going to, this is going to be your cheat day. You're going to cheat. You're going to go all out.
That's right. Okay. Last Friday, single whopper with cheese. No bacon, just single whopper, medium fry.
So are you going to go down to the junior whopper?
No, that's madness. But like, yeah, you do find that. Yep, I'm in this area, gray area of making a bad decision, but it's like, one, I don't like how I feel after I ate all that. And after doing it for like 26 times, like, I'm going to try this. It's like, oh, I actually feel pretty good still. Like,
yep.
And I still had that that craving met and still had my fast food. So it's like, I'm assuming that's what you're meaning.
Yes.
Yes,
yep.
This was a bad decision, but as I consistently do it, it's getting even better of a bad decision.
Right. Well, and I think too, you get to that point where it's like, you know what? I don't really need that bacon double whopper with cheese. I'm okay with
the single.
Like that's awesome. And I think that's important too, to realize like you can make better bad decisions. And as you move forward with things, you almost get yourself to the point that then you can make even better bad decisions.
And I talked too a little bit. I think a great example is that I wake up every day at 4:30 to work out. And my goal is to do that 6 days a week.
That is, to me, that's madness, waking up at 4:30 in the morning.
There's usually a day or two that my alarm doesn't go off or I hit snooze without realizing and I get up at like 5. And depending on what I was planning on doing for a workout, if it was like a 60-minute workout, early on I was like, I guess I can't work out today. And then I started realizing like, the same principle applies here. Like I can make a better bad decision. So the bad decision in this day of me waking up late is just to say, the heck with it, I'm not working out. The better bad decision is to say, all right, I still have 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do in 30 minutes that'll be some type of workout? Maybe that's for my program, there's different length ones. So it's like, okay, instead of doing the hour one, I'm doing the 25-minute one. That is a better bad decision. Not what I wanted to make, but in the moment, it's better than the worst decision I could have made.
Right. And I think it kind of goes back to that whole Whopper idea too. When you don't give up on that, when you don't like give in to that, well, I'm not going to do it today because I woke up too late. When you stop giving in to that, then again, you're still building. It goes back to all of the previous episodes of like building those habits that, mm-hmm. you know, I don't even know if like a better bad decision, like I totally get that terminology, but it's still not bad. Like it's not a bad decision because you still did something. Like you still worked towards your goal. So, you know, it's
that's
hard.
The concept. Like when I was thinking of that, like, so like the best choice would be to do the 60-minute workout.
Right.
That's now off the table. So no matter what, like I'm not making the best choice anymore.
Right.
But what's the better of the bad choices I have left?
Right.
Well, I'm going to do the 25-minute one instead of saying hitting the snooze 4 more times.
Yeah. I really liked this one because I often think too, I mean, any any parent out there, you and I were talking about this before we hit record, how crazy life is with when our kids start to get older. You know, you were saying how, you know, your kids can walk right over to the softball diamond and they can walk home. You know, we kind of live out in the country a little bit. So for us, we're constantly driving kids to and from, and, you know, they go to events in different towns. So for us, you know, there is a lot of driving our kids around. And right now, Jason can't drive a whole lot. So it's kind of been me. And it is crazy because you get home and I want to tell myself, now, I might not be following your better bad decisions quite as good as what you are right now. And that's my goal, is to get better at this. But I get home at night, sometimes at 9:30 at night from leaving at 7 o'clock or 7:15 in the morning. And it is, I'm tired. I want to go to bed because I've been up where even do a 10 minutes or a 15 minutes, go on the elliptical and just go 1 mile.
Yeah.
Just do something. And that's where I think, that's where I really liked this one, because I can talk myself out of that quite easily.
Well, I think too, you'll find the more you do that, then how much more capable you are of doing things than even you realize.
Exactly.
Just last night, I was exhausted. I was on dad duty all by myself. Christy had to work late. And it was time, like the kids were in bed, and we had Thursday nights mean I have to have laundry put away because I'm an awesome husband, and clean the bathrooms.
I did know Thursday night was your bathroom night.
So I had those two agendas on my list. I really wanted just to say, I'm going to bed. But I looked at the two. That would have been the worst choice. And I was like, there's no way I can do both of these. I'm already past my time. I know I have to get up at 4:30. I have to make a choice. Am I just going to go to bed, or can I get something done? And I decided, well, I'm going to clean the bathrooms. The laundry can wait. It was the better bad decision.
Yeah.
I wish that things would have worked out where I could have done both, but that wasn't the case. So make the next decision.
Yep.
So.
And the laundry will always wait. I've learned that.
I know.
The laundry always
wait. We're just in such a rhythm with, like, we start the laundry machine right when we get home with whatever clothes are dirty from the upstairs, not the downstairs kids. And then we've said, like, the heck with sorting stuff. And do that, and then, like, we'll put it away that same night, and we're only doing one load each day. Instead of waiting till the weekend and doing, like, a million, it just feels magical.
So there's...
feels like we're cheating or something.
Our listeners need to know that there's a lot that I could learn from Greg Detmeyer right now, so...
Maybe we'll do one on laundry.
No. Or cleaning bathrooms.
So cleaning bathrooms is fun, as long as I can put stuff you should know on.
Ugh. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard, too. That cleaning bathrooms is fun.
Well, it's like last night I was listening to, like, how uranium mining works. And since I said that, it is time to wrap this one up, Jenny. If you want to know more about anything we talked about today, go check out those episodes. It's on our website, www.iccpodcast.com. You can find a goals tab there, and you can check out those past 8 shows.
You can also leave us listener mail about how you hold on to the steering wheel in your car, because please tell me that you've done what I do when I drive.
Jenny, if I see you drive, I'm pulling over. I don't feel safe with you on the road anymore. So when we leave, I'm glad you're heading west, I'm heading east. I'll be nice and safe.
I don't know, maybe I'll go east tonight.
You won't be holding the middle of the steering wheel. So as we leave, ask yourself, what one thing can I do tomorrow to make myself a better version of myself? And maybe that's holding the steering wheel right there at 10-2 like you're supposed to. Then do it, because greatness isn't achieved by one event, but instead a series of small, intentional steps.
Go be awesome.